Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is Danny Pena. I'm back here after a long, long vacation. And also joining me this week, we have Paris Lee. What's up, Paris?
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Good. Feeling good, man.
Yeah. How was vacation?
Vacation was awesome. I want to go back. One, I can say father from you. And just that. Yes, sir.
See, I was going to be nice, but since you did that, I'm going to say
this.
You were
not nice before the show.
I wasn't. When you were posted that, like, you posted a picture, like, yeah. Hey, oh, this is like the Mario plane or something, y'all were going on to the DR, and then I responded, and I just tagged. I was like, I hope Rihanna and your daughter have a great vacation.
I know, I saw that tweet. I saw that tweet.
It just made me laugh. I made myself laugh.
On that one. I saw that tweet. I'm like, okay, Paris is a punk. He's a punk. Yeah, that was wild, man. Like, we had to change our flight the night before because the flight got delayed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So we had to wait, like, I think like 3 hours and change or something like that. And I saw that Mario plane landing, and I'm like, wait a minute, in Florida. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. This can't be it. There's no way this is the plane. And you see the plane going to our gate. And I looked at Reeve like, yeah. Yo, is this a sign? Like, what's going on my birthday, too? It was like,
that was awesome.
That was so sick. But yeah, like, when we got there, I think they only have, like, one plane, JetBlue, and it shows up randomly in a different location. So once you go inside, you sit down, you see all the Mario characters on the screen, and it says welcome. You click it, and that's it. Everything else is normal blue stuff, but it was cool. It was cool seeing the Mario theme. When we landed in Punta Cana, yo, you see everybody outside from like the people work at the airport taking pictures and stuff. It was really cool. Really, really cool. So yeah, Mario plane. So if you see it in the future at a random airport, let us know. Let us know. So this episode, we're going to do some Q&A, FAMO questions here. We have a couple. And so for those who are watching, make sure to post your questions here, and we'll try our best to answer as much as possible here, man. So, all right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe. And also post a review and share the content if you get the chance to, man. Also, if you'd like to be part of our FanMail segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris. So, have you? You say you haven't played Donkey Kong yet. Are you planning to get Donkey Kong?
I am not.
You're not? Okay. Is there a reason why?
We talked about this offline already.
Yeah.
It didn't grab me when I played it at the preview. The Nintendo Direct didn't grab me. Obviously, I've seen all the reviews. It's 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. It's being praised as a game of the year. I know you started playing it and saying you're really liking it as well. there's just so much going on right now that a game that my initial impression, it didn't grab me. I don't see me running out and playing it anytime soon. I will eventually, of course, but sure. not anytime soon. But I'm happy that everyone is loving it. So that when I do play it, I can go, dang, I was wrong about this. This is great. I'm sure when I play it, I'll enjoy it. But yeah, that initial impression just kind of turned me off from it to want to run out to go get it. And I'm trying to play like 10 other things at the same time anyways. Yeah. So I'll wait. I'll just wait.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that part where we got to play the game. I wasn't impressed at all. I mean, we talked about it on the show multiple times. I think after playing this game, Nintendo tried to hide a lot of stuff because they wanted to keep it as a secret for the Direct. I think the Direct was the one that actually changed a lot of people's minds. And look, there was a lot of Mojiro friends that we know that I talked to them during the Nintendo event in New York, Nintendo Switch 2 event. And they felt the same, like, yeah, something is off about the game. I don't know what it is. And it was that. They took a lot of stuff off the game, the demo, and they just kept it as simple as possible. I'm like, it can't be just this. It can't be just punchy walls and rocks and that's it, you know? So,
right.
But when you play the actual game, Paris, like, yo, it is. One thing I said to Ri, I'm like, man, this is what makes Nintendo special. These games that they create, no other company can make this. Not like this type of vibe, you know? So, like, it has the vibe of Mario Galaxy, Odyssey, like those type of games, where it's just fun. You just want to collect as many things as possible. Like right now, I'm just collecting bananas everywhere, you know? So like they're hitting, they're in very tough locations. The boss battles is really, really good. Like super cool. And just the vibe between Pauline and Donkey Kong together as a team, yo, it is super cool, man. Super cool. I know you could do co-op. I haven't done that yet. Just playing single player, man. But yeah, the game is... Game is really, really dope, man. And it's the same team that made Odyssey also.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Odyssey team. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
And like I said, and it's like you're saying, I hear what you're saying. I've read some reviews and seen what other people have said. I get it. Clearly that preview wasn't a great representation of what the full game is. Now like I said, I'll jump into it eventually. And it's Nintendo, man. This is what they do. This is what they do. So I shouldn't even be shocked that the game is great, because Nintendo just makes great games. They always have. Yeah, like I said, I'll eventually get to it. Look, we know it won't go on sale, because Nintendo will be like, no, you're paying full price. I don't care if it's 5 years from now. We charge you $70.
Yeah, it is cheaper than Mario Kart.
Yeah, $70 and Mario's $80. But yeah, I'll pick it up eventually.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, for those who are listening, let us know what your thoughts about Donkey Kong. I think it's amazing. It's really, really cool, man. So yeah, another thing too about Nintendo, before we go with the questions, like, a lot of people were asking, man, why didn't they release Donkey Kong first? Why Mario? Look, man, business decision. Mario Kart is more known to the casual audience, man. Way, way more than the Donkey Kong Bonanza, you know? So I see why that was the game, like, for launch. But here's the thing. Mario Kart just came out. Donkey Kong. And next up, Metroid. That's going to be another big game that's coming out from Nintendo too.
Oh, yeah.
Man. So I think it's going to be a good year for the Nintendo Switch too, man. It's a big
year. Oh, it is.
Year.
And speaking of Metroid, I really enjoyed that in the preview. So I'm looking forward to getting when that finally... They haven't said a date, have they? They haven't said...
No. I predict that this might come out in September, the latest October. But I think I can see September more than anything.
Because I think Kirby's going to wind up being November. So September, October probably makes sense.
Is that 2025?
Mm-hmm. That's this year.
I can see that. All right. I thought that was like an early 2026 game.
It better be, because it's in my fantasy draft. I'm screwed if it doesn't.
By the way, how you doing that one? How you doing that?
Not draft? Bad. And I took Fable with my first pick, which obviously hurt me. But I had picked up the Altars, which did really good. The fact that, and I had drafted Hollow Knight, and Hollow Knight's coming out this year, so that I should do pretty well with that. Like I said, I got Kirby and a couple of other things. Right now, I'm projected to finish anywhere between like second and fourth place, up in there somewhere, just
That's
depending
a big job.
On the score. No, it is. But I think Blessing's going to wind up winning the whole thing overall. It's going to either be him or Barrett that's going to wind up winning it. But, you know, not bad for not having my number one pick come out this year and losing those points.
Yeah.
Not bad. Oh, and I picked up Borderlands 4, which I think is going to score pretty high. And I picked up Black Ops 7, which probably all right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we haven't heard anything about Black Ops yet.
Gamescom. They're going to show it at Gamescom. Yeah, they're going to debut it at Gamescom. And then, you know, there's been whispers and rumors about when they're going to where and when they're going to reveal the multiplayer. So we'll
now, see. My question to you, do you think we'll finally see a Nintendo Switch 2 version? Because I think it's about time.
I'm going to say no. I think that's next year. I think next year's Call of Duty will be on Switch 2 because it sounds like they didn't get dev kits way in advance. Now, we obviously could be wrong, but it seems like Xbox didn't get dev kits. So I'm not expecting any Xbox games to hit Switch 2 until next year.
Okay. All right. So we got a couple questions here, Paris.
And before you go into that,
yeah,
there is a question from your wife that I think we should go with first. It's in the chat.
It's in the chat. Where is it? Oh, okay. All right. I see.
Yeah.
All right. So this is from Rihanna. For the host, what do you see as the next step in console evolution? Previously, generations had jumps in visual fidelity, then processing power, and now cloud integration. So what improvements are left to make? That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And you're welcome, Rihanna, because we know your husband don't read. So I had to make sure we point that
first
out.
First of all, I scroll all the way up because I was going to go to the first questions, but didn't see that at the bottom.
And the reason that is a great question, because ironically enough, I want to tie that into Ghost of Yote. There, you know, did you see the state of play of Ghost of Yote?
No, actually, I was on vacation.
Right, because you're on vacation. Yeah. Loved it. I mean, I wind up last minute live streaming. It was great. I loved it. I think the presentation of it looks really good. It is a day one for me. I can't wait till it comes out. But then the aftermath, I've seen a lot of it, is complaining about, this just looks like a PS4 game. And I'm thinking, it looks good enough. I don't get the feedback on this that people are complaining about the visuals. What are you truly expecting from a visual standpoint? Which brings me to exactly what Rihanna's talking about. We're getting dangerously close to plateauing on visuals. I think, I don't know how much better video games are going to look. Yes, path tracing and stuff like that's coming in on the PC side, but that's still high-end PCs that's able to pull that off. But on the console side, we're kind of getting to the red line, to the edge point of what visuals look like, right? Audio presentation, things like that. So her question was, what is the next step? I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know, because I don't know how much better video games can get. Sure, there's going to be innovations in gameplay, things like that, I would assume. But from a presentation standpoint, from a visual standpoint, I don't know. I don't know what else they can currently do to improve that, other than think, ironically enough, what Xbox is doing, being very aggressive, an open platform console. It's not so much about how the video games look. It's about the accessibility to the games and to the digital libraries, right? I think that seems to be the next step in where we're going. Yes, there will continue to be, Nintendo is going to continue to have the Switch. We're going to get a PlayStation 6. But what Xbox is doing, I think, let's see if it works, because we have no idea. But I think that is them trying to innovate, because the present, like I said, the visuals are going to stay the same. I mean, it already looks good. How much better do video games need to look at this point that you're not satisfied, I guess, is the question I'm putting out there.
Yeah, and another thing too, besides that too, Robert, because I totally 100% agree with you about having access to these games and so many different platforms. I think that's the next step. But also, I think that we're going to see way less AAA games, and we're going to see more AA games, where it's going to be a shorter time of developing those games. And we're going to see more of that, I think, more than ever, because companies are not going to be spending so much money on developing a game for like 5+ years or something like that.
That's the problem with the industry right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to see less of that. And I remember, I think it was like sometime last year, I think it was Matt Booty. There was a video that he was having a meeting with another studio. Which studio it was? I'm trying to remember. And they were talking about that conversation about having games that takes less time to develop. And now people were like, no, that's not fair. And this, and like, I remember people were talking about it on social media.
Was it Double Fine?
It was Double Fine.
It was the documentary.
The documentary, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, thinking about it, it makes sense. It makes lots of sense of why companies are now going to do less of that and more of like the double A games, you know? So
think of this to the point. Double Fine is actually a great example of this. Psychonauts 2 shipped in late 2021. Now, October 2025, we're getting their next game. Even 4 years, if you go back to the 360 PS3 generation, was a long development time. But the fact that they're able to get out a game within 4 years is pretty reasonable where we currently are. And sure, I don't think Keeper is going to be this big AAA game. I think it's exactly what you're talking about. It's going to be a AA experience, a shorter experience, but our expectation, because it's Double Fine, we all think it's going to be great. It's something I want to play day one. I already know. And all I saw was the one trailer on it, right? Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is, I think that is where this industry's got to go. We got to get games turned around quicker. I think Obsidian is the exception to the rule right now. The fact they got 3 games coming out this year is damn near unprecedented. They're the only other studio I could think that could even potentially do something like that right now is Insomniac. You know what I mean? That you got an Avowed, a big AAA game. You're getting Grounded 2, which is in game preview. And full disclosure, we're obviously playing it right now. We'll talk about it, an embargo. But coming out in game preview. And then you're getting the Outer Worlds 2 at the end of the year, which when we got to see it at the showcase and got to talk to a couple people at Obsidian, is damn near a AAA game itself, right? Because they're expanding it from what the original Outer Worlds is. So that's crazy that they're even able to do that. And I think for the overall health of the industry, we got to get back to that cadence of clearly they're trying to lower budgets because that got out of control. But get games out in a 3 to 4 year period versus, like, obviously they canceled Everwild. Everwild was in development for 10 years. Can't do that. You just can't. You know, it sounds like Perfect Dark, even though we saw it, was nowhere near close to coming out. So you had already hit 5, you know, probably, I think it went into production like 2019 or something. It already had been 6 years and it was probably another couple years before it was going to come out. Excuse me, that's 8 years. We can't have these long cycles. You just can't anymore because look how it's hurting the industry. Look how, if a game that's taking that long at a AAA level with a huge budget, if it comes out and it doesn't do that great, guess what happens? Studio's gone. Everybody's laid off. That's what's happening now. So to your point and to the question of what Rihanna was even saying, I do think that's a part of the next generation of gaming is we got to get games out quicker. And they got to be quality too. You can't just throw something out there because if it's a bad game, no one's going to play it. Mm-hmm. Shorter development times, quality. And I don't necessarily need every game to be a 30, 40, 50 hour experience. Good. 8 to 12 hours, I'm good. If it's a great game, I'm good. You know what I mean? So maybe that's the next step on what we're going to get moving forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other day I saw this somewhere. I can't remember. I don't know if it was like a website or social media. And I was going to ask you about this before we go to the next question. Mm-hmm. EA reportedly expects Battlefield 6 to bring in 100 million players.
I don't believe that.
That's a lot.
That's you don't even expect Call of Duty to do something. You don't expect Fortnite to do something like that. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, I don't believe that. I saw that and I was like, there's got to be some miscommunication on that. Maybe they think they can overall get 100 million impressions. We'll find out whenever they reveal it. But there's rumors there's going to be a free-to-play element to one of the modes or something like that. Who knows? But that seems crazy. There's no way they think they're going to get 100 million sales. There's no way. No freaking way. By the way, speaking of that, and I only learned this 2 days ago, I was like, I wonder how many copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 have sold all time. 15 million copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 have sold.
That's crazy.
And I say that to say it's not even number one. Do you know what number one is? You want to take a guess?
I think it is Minecraft.
Yes, it's Minecraft at like over 300 million, right?
That's crazy.
I forget what third place was, but third place was 80 million. That's a huge gap. You see what I'm saying? That's freaking wild. Like the third place game compared to the first and second place game, there's like this huge gap in sales. Mm-hmm. So to think a Battlefield is going to sell 100 million, there's no freaking way, because that would be historic to do something like that. So I think there was miscommunication with that. I don't believe it.
Even marketing is different. Like everything has just been different. Have you been noticing the past couple of years, we'll see a company promoting a game maybe a month before or something like that, mm-hmm. or a couple of weeks before. Before, back in the days, it was, you know, months in advance, you see ads everywhere, you know. We don't get to see that anymore. It's, I think that the way how companies now are promoting games has changed so much throughout the past couple of years.
Yeah. Todd Howard was right. He was right all along, because that's Todd Howard's philosophy. He does not like long marketing cycles for his games. He likes to announce it. 6 months later, you're playing it. I agree more with that. And I think that's also part of the problem as well. And, you know, you and I have talked about this for years. Stop announcing and showing these games so early. I don't need to know. Okay, y'all working on it. It can be in the rumor mill. But don't give us these big E3 presentations of it and show us these sizzle reel demos and trailers. And then we don't get the game for another 5, 6, 7 years. Come on, you know, like, excuse me. Imagine if they would have never announced Everweb. We're not complaining right now. It would have been an unannounced game that got canceled. Same with Perfect Dark. It's an unannounced game that got canceled. Yeah, it sucks. Studios closing and laying people off. But I think the outrage would be a little less, because you wouldn't have shown us something from the game to try and get us excited about it. And then the end result is nothing but a waste of time and money. Because that's what both of those games ultimately became, a waste of time and money.
Well, go ahead. I was going to say, look at Grounded 2. It was just announced. It's coming out.
Yep, boom.
I think that's a better way than to promote something in advance for years, you know, and people are like, oh, when it's coming out? And if it gets canceled, people are going to complain about it, you know? So
here's an even better example.
Yeah.
Of, I get you want some marketing time. What is most likely the game of the year this year?
Personally, Exhibition 33, maybe?
Yes. And that's my point. I ain't even played it yet, and I know it's going to win. But that almost seems like the template now for game releases. We didn't even really know about Expedition 33 until, what, about a year ago? I think it was the previous showcase they showed it.
Less than a year.
Yeah.
It was during the Xbox showcase.
Right. But that's my point. And then less than a year, it's out. People get to play it. It's great. Obviously, the word of mouth has been a huge hit and success. Yeah, I think this is the template for the industry. Is it a AAA game? Is it a AA? I'm not even quite sure, but obviously it was a smaller team on a smaller budget that made a great game that is going to wind up winning Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. Astrobot last year is another example, right? Great game, wind up winning Game of the Year. Smaller team made it. Obviously, PlayStation continues to support it, the whole thing. That is where the industry needs to go in the next generation. Sure, you still want your big trip. Like, look, I want The Witcher 4. I'm not saying you can't make these, or you want Elder Scrolls 6, but I think those need to be almost the exception and not the rule for gaming.
Yeah.
Let's get back to what it used to be, because think about it. When we grew up in the 80s and all that, playing that, those are the games that stick with us. They weren't these huge 80, 100-hour games. They were just, you know, Mario Brothers. I mean, hell, if you know the tricks, you could beat Mario Brothers in like 2 hours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was still great.
Yeah, people, somebody's saying that my volume is lower than yours. How? I have everything up.
Oh, I don't know. I don't hear the actual stream, but I mean, you sound fine to me.
Well, people are watching this on Twitch. Let me know if it's true that my volume is lower. The podcast version is going to be better, but yeah. All right. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Paris. I totally agree with you. Yeah, I think Expedition 33 is a double A game. Still, has been a huge success. I mean, the way how the game has been promoted, it looks and it feels like a triple A game, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a double A because it had a lower budget compared to the other stuff that we've seen in the past, you know. So. All right, so we have another question. I mean, you kind of responded this one, but I'll ask. Next Level Shish asked, what do you guys think about Ghost of Yotei? And yeah, I know you mentioned it already.
Yeah, I loved it. Day one for me. I can't wait.
No.
This is what I say, because I've seen a lot of criticism. Like, I already talked about the visual things. I mean, they will need to, let's see how the combat works, because they're removing stances, but then they're adding in, you're having different weapons that you'll be able to use throughout combat. Let's see how that plays out. I understand people being concerned that they didn't continue Jin's story, and we're not going to spoil anything. There's an argument both ways for it, that I kind of get where they left off with Jin. And then bringing in this new antagonist, and it's almost like a Kill Bill revenge story. Let's see how it plays out. We obviously got to see how it plays out. We don't know. I thought the presentation showed the game very well. It made me like, yeah. Matter of fact, I started playing Tsushima again after watching it. That's how impressed I was by it, right? I mean, yes, you're getting the Watanabe lo-fi stuff modes. These are all just additive things. You know, you don't necessarily need them to be a part of the experience. We're obviously getting the Kurosawa mode again, stuff like that. So I think it looks like a great package. And yes, it is a sequel. Yes, it's reusing some assets from Tsushima, but that's fine. Like I said, the game looks great to me. I can't wait to play it. I would tell anyone that obviously played Ghost of Tsushima, you're going to want to go play this one just from what I saw. If you've not played Ghost of Tsushima, I would recommend go play it. Go play it now. Check it out. See if it's something that interests you, you know, because it's not necessarily going to be for everyone, but I vibe with it. I thought the story was great. I thought the combat was great. And seeing Yotei looks fantastic to me.
Yeah. And I know there's a PC version, too, if you don't have a PlayStation 5. I highly recommend it. It's a really good game. It's a really, really good game. All right. We have another question here. This is from Captain Chats. What do you guys think of the way Call of Duty has gone with the whole skin situation and chasing Fortnite? It's part of the business, bro. That's how money. I see it.
It's money, because you have to look at it this way.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be doing it if people weren't buying them.
And they are. People are
buying them. And that's what's happening. That's where Call of Duty makes all its money, on that stuff. And same with Fortnite, obviously. So the fact that clearly people are buying it and they're making hand over fist with it, they're going to keep doing it. You're going to see more collaborations across different IPs. It's not going to stop. And I understand some people, it gets ridiculous. Trust me, Beavis and Butthead and all that now. But, bro, they're not going to stop. Expect more. They probably had the Kabuki Warriors or something.
Here's the thing, man, too. Like, it's optional. It's not something where you have to buy it. You know, you don't have to just enjoy the game and play and that's it. Look, there's people that play Fortnite. They don't buy no skins. They don't buy the season pass. They just play the game and that's it. That's all they do. But there is a crowd that likes to spend a lot of money. Like, they want to be the one with the unique character, the unique outfits, and so on, you know. So there's an audience for that, you know. For me, I buy skins here once in a while, something. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I remember, I think it was on Fortnite, Alan Wake was in the game. I bought that. Doom, bought that. I think it was Dragon Ball Z. I got that. So there's going to be things that I like that I buy. And look, it's my money. I could just, you know, make a decision and buy it, you know, and so on. I know that we've seen a lot with like Star Wars and Fortnite and so on, but I don't have an issue if it's something where it's gonna keep people coming back and play the game or whatever. Like, I'm all for it. Like, hey, it's all good. It's, again, it's optional.
Yeah,
it's optional,
you know? The only ones that I do is the like Call of Duty Endowment, because that helps the veterans, right? I'll get those skins for that, because it goes to a good cause. But I'm cheapskate. I don't be getting all that stuff. Now, my kids, different story. That's all they do. Like, Fortnite for them is a goddamn fashion show. But again, they ain't targeting us. They're targeting our kids. They're targeting the next generation who's all in on that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I bought the Ninja Turtles. It was in Fortnite.
Yeah.
I bought it right away. I bought my favorite Ninja Turtle, Michelangelo. It's Michelangelo and Raphael is my favorite ones. So, all right. So it's another question. This is from Low136. Do you think the quality of those games Obsidian is working on is in high quality, or just projects that need to get done?
I think it's high quality. I loved Avowed. I thought Avowed was high quality for what it was. I get it's not for everyone, but it was for me. And from when I got to preview, I got hands-on with Outer Worlds 2. Plays great. It obviously builds upon the first one, and ironically enough, kind of had a Fallout New Vegas vibe to it.
It did.
So we'll see what the final game when it comes out. But and You'll find out about Grounded 2 soon. I'll leave it at that.
And they got help, too. They got help for to work on Grounded 2.
Idols Montreal, yeah.
Idols, yeah, yeah. So that's cool. It's not something where it's just them, smaller team. Because their first game, it was a much, much smaller team. Mm-hmm. So, but we got to play it during the Xbox Game Showcase this past June. And had a good time. It was fun. Looked good. I know the theme is all 90s and stuff, so... it's interesting during that decade. That's like my favorite decade, man. 90s. So, all right. So, yeah, Paris. Like, I think I'm excited to play Grounded 2. Very excited about the Outer Worlds. Now, your opinion about Outer Worlds 2, $80.
Why are you asking me that? What's your opinion?
You're my opinion. Me. Yeah. My opinion, I'm a Game Pass subscriber, so it doesn't affect me at all. But, you know, we're going to get to see more of that. I went through the stage in the late 90s also, where games were very expensive. So, like, I've been through that. You know, there's people that have never experienced that at all. I get where they're coming from. A lot of us got used to the whole $59.99, sometimes $39.99. I get it. But again, if you don't agree with it, vote with your wallet. Don't buy it. That's how I see it. But I get it. Companies are changing prices, man. You know, I think we've been in the same price for a very long time. And then gaming development is getting, like, more expensive than ever. You know, that's why we have to focus more now on the AA games. Shorter time, less money, but better quality games. You get what I'm saying? So that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, being serious for a second, I don't agree with games being $80 at all. Like, I don't like Mario Kart being $80. We know Grand Theft Auto 6 the price is going to be ridiculous. I think a game like The Outer Worlds 2 coming in at $80 and being one of the first, for if not the first one, for Xbox to do it, might do more harm than good to that game. Because I am curious how many people played the first one that would be excited about the second one to want to go pick it up. And if you've not played the first one, you might see the $80 price tag and go, yeah, I don't know about this game. Maybe I shouldn't pick it up. I also think part of this is Game Pass. I do. I think it almost becomes a way to go, well, damn, do I really spend $80 for that? Or, man, I should just subscribe to Game Pass and just play it that way. I think that also was part of it. Yeah, I mean, let's see how it plays out. Let's see how it plays out. We know economy, tariffs, all these crazy things that are happening have raised the price of games. We already talked about it. Gaming budgets have gone up, all that. So I know all this plays into it, you know, just looking at it from a business standpoint. But it doesn't mean I need to be excited about or happy. I don't want to spend $80 for games. But we know this is the reality of where we're going. So Nintendo's already done it. Xbox is about to do it. I can only imagine eventually PlayStation is going to do it as well, probably next year. So, you know, you like you said, you got to vote with your wallet. I think what this does, it's going to make people way more picky about the games that they play. Whereas when games were $50, you might just, oh, you see the cover, yeah, I'll just go pick it up. Then it got to 60, you get a little more hesitant. You get to 70, you're kind of, now it's at the 80, I think you're going to be even more hesitant to just run out and blind buy something. You're going to want to be well-informed, well-educated about what you're spending your money on now.
Yeah, I think, you know, it would be crazy if Grand Theft Auto, the next Grand Theft Auto game comes out and they charge $100 and it sells like crazy. I think that's going to open the doors of more companies going to sell it for $80, $90 to $100 or whatever.
But that's the thing though, Danny. They're probably the one game that can get away with something crazy. Like my opinion, I expect it to be $90 for the base game. I do. I think it's gonna be $90, and I think they're gonna have collector's editions and all that. They're gonna be like $120+. That's what I think. We'll see. And to your point, we're gonna go buy it. It's gonna happen.
Day one.
Yeah, it's just what's going to happen. That game is an exception that it is able to get it. Grand Theft Auto can get away with something like that, since we're talking about The Outer Worlds 2 could not. You know what I mean?
But see, here's the thing. I can see a game like Call of Duty, you know, but Outer Worlds 2?
No, but that's what I mean.
It's not a game like Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty. You get what I'm saying? So maybe Halo. That's like a huge maybe. I don't think so.
Not in its current state. Not in its current state. I don't think so. Like, I'll give you another example. I think, and I'm not trying to say this, gives them a damn hint. I think a Spider-Man could get away with something like that because of what that IP is. I don't think a Ghost of Yote could.
No, yeah.
Okay. As an example, right? You know what I mean? It depends. Like, there's only certain IPs that could, and then there's other ones that, no, you should not be doing that because you're going to make people very hesitant to pick up your game.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so here's another question. Let me see if you get what you're
saying. Let me answer this one, because I saw it way earlier, and I was waiting until the show to answer it. Because Captain Chat was asking about, I guess he has a 4080 right now, and was thinking of upgrading to a 5080, if I'm remembering correctly, and it was, or should he wait to the 5080 Super S? Mm-hmm. My question back to him would be, first and foremost, what resolution are you playing at? If you're playing at 1440p, keep at 4080. Don't do it. I'll tell you that right now. Keep what you got. Even at 4K, it depends on the monitor you got, the refresh rate. Are you trying to play at high frames? Obviously, you're going to have to utilize DLSS4 for a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had a 4080 in the past. A 4090 is literally sitting right behind me. And I have a 5090 in my PC right now. Yes, sponsored by NVIDIA. I reviewed it, the whole thing, full disclosure. If I had to go out and buy, if I had to upgrade from my 4090 to a 5090, I'd have kept the 4090. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. I don't see enough taking advantage of it to make me want to upgrade to it. Look, I'm thankful and grateful I got this 5090. It's great with editing, the whole thing. But not so much so that I'm trying to sell this 4090 and I'm trying to spend the extra hundreds of dollars that I would have to get the 5090. I think the same applies to the 4080 as well. And I'm reading what he's saying. He is trying to play at 4K, 240 hertz. If that is important enough to you to be able to play at 4K at that high frame rate, then go for it. I will tell you now, there's not a lot of games that's going to be able to take advantage of it with a 5080, because there's not a lot of games to take advantage of it with a 5090. I'm just letting you know that right now. But up to you. Obviously, I would recommend do a little more research. I'm not J2 Cents or anyone like that. You know, I'm not Tech Jesus, right? But go check out their videos, look at their reviews, look at the performance differences on that and see what they have to say. I know, because I've watched some of their videos, they're not recommending people to necessarily upgrade from their 40 series cards right now to the 5000 series cards for everything I just talked about. We're going to have to wait to see more games take advantage of it, in my personal opinion, to want to really do it. Like, if you were to go play, like, I'm sure you probably got Cyberpunk. If you're playing Cyberpunk right now on your 4080 with path tracing on at 4K, you're still getting 100 plus frames right now on a 4080. So do you necessarily need to get it up to 200 frames to still enjoy Cyberpunk? But that's up to you. It's your own personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question. We're almost going to wrap it up here. Here's another question from Sith. Why is Twitter blowing up thinking Spider-Man is going to Xbox? Where did that came from? It was because of the announcement of Helldivers 2 going to
Xbox. And we talked about it. We talked about it. And I had even said when it first happened, I go, if there was a game that I thought they would do first single player, Spider-Man would make the most sense. And I know it's blown up because Insomniac put out a tweet just with Spider-Man on it doing the peace sign. And of course, people went conspiracy theory on that. Do I think Insomniac has Spider-Man currently in a development to be ported to the Xbox? No, I do not. I do not think that at all. Mm-hmm. Do I think there potentially could be a day that a single player PlayStation game shows up on Xbox? Yes, I do. I'm not saying it's happening anytime soon. I think very similar to, it's just four games. It's not a signal of things to come. I think, and we said it at the time, we're not dumb. If this works, they're going to bring more games. I think the same thing with Helldivers 2. If Helldivers 2 is successful on PlayStation, yes, we already know Marathon's coming. Fair Games probably come. That Horizon live service game most likely comes. Then you're like, huh, well, we got single player games that, you know, aren't really seeing a lot of traction anymore. Why don't we see if the 30, 40 million people on Xbox, you might get a million people to go buy it, right? This is profit. Why wouldn't you do it? That's just my logical thinking on it, that once you dip your toe in the water, eventually you're going to jump in.
Here's the thing. That game is not going to be on Game Pass. It's strictly you have to buy it. You have to buy it. So
No.
If the game sells, come on. We know that Sony's going to add more games. Come on. It will be stupid if they don't. You know, so this it's business. This is a test. I get it. Look, for me, if it wasn't for, you know, us getting review copies and you know, doing the content creation stuff, and I'm just playing a game, just I'm a gamer, I will buy it because, you know, not everybody has multiple consoles. They only will have like one platform and that's it. This is the opportunity to play something that's really, really good. They came out on PlayStation 5. Helldivers 2 is really fun. It's a really dope game. I really enjoy it. I have it on a PC version and the PlayStation version. So look, if you have never played it before, I highly recommend for you to buy this game. It's so much worth it, man. So worth it. And here's the thing. That day is two games coming out. It's the Gears game, Gears of War, and this at the same time. So
it's not an accident, by the way.
It's not an accident. Of course. You know, they planned it out. You know that. You know that. But, you know, people shouldn't freak out if Spider-Man comes out eventually on Xbox. They shouldn't. I think that's an opportunity for more people to play a game that was amazing. And it's an old game. What is the problem if it's an old game? That's the thing I don't get. People just want to keep it to themselves forever. It's like, come on. Come on, man. You know? I think with everything that Xbox has been doing, we're going to see more companies eventually slowly start releasing these games on another platform, you know, slowly, not a whole bunch at the same time. Because, you know, the way how things are going, that everything is just expensive right now, it's going to happen, bro. It's going to happen. You know, so anything else, Paris?
No, I mean, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, side note, this is from John. Side note. Disney owns the rights to the Spider-Man video game since it's a toy and merch, not Sony.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah, Sony doesn't own it. But I think when we even talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the point is Disney would not be upset if Sony was like, "Hey, we want to put it on another platform." They're like, "Hey, good." Mm-hmm. Why would Disney care? Disney has more money for Disney.
Yeah, look at Indiana Jones. It came out on all platforms. You know, mm-hmm. came out first for a couple months as an exclusive on the Xbox platform, and then months later. It's on PlayStation, you know, so it's working. It's working. So we're going to wrap it up here, guys. It's almost an hour here, but yeah, it was a great conversation, Paris. Great conversation. Make sure to check out Gamer Tag Radio. I got some stuff lined up for the next. I'm not going to tell you. If you've seen pictures of me online, you know, going to places, just look at it. There's your hint. LA.
To do what?
Talk to friends. Talk to a friend. And that's about it. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. You know, we're back. And there. I know Gamescom is coming up very, very soon. There's going to be a lot. What happened?
Finish what you're going to say. I'll tell you. Let's do a little quick after show. I'm going to tell you
a story. Yeah, sure. So the reason I'm bringing it up, you know, Gamescom is coming up. So I got invited to a lot of events. I know Paris, too, that we're going to be checking out. And we're going to talk about it on the show, record some content. So make sure to check out the podcast. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channels, our personal YouTube channels. I know Paris has been posting some content over there, live stream, personal recorded stuff. And also, same time, check out my personal YouTube channel. Slowly growing, you know. I've been posting stuff here and there. But just check it out whenever you get a chance. So thank you, everyone, for watching this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. We'll be back. Again, we have more content coming up. More content. Be on the lookout for it. All right, until next time, we're out.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.